Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. Let us turn to our Bibles to, as you look at the Bible, I will read from the screen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Today, we are very glad to have Reverend Chua to share with us God's word, sermon title, Matters of the Heart. Reverend Chua, please.
Good morning. Time passes very fast, and we are into the second month of year 2026. And next week is Chinese New Year. And it is part of the Chinese tradition to wish each other a new year that is better than the previous years, whether in terms of health, financial situation, or spiritual well-being. We all know that having great wealth is meaningless if our health is in bad shape. Even with a strong financial standing and good health, life is meaningless if you are spiritually empty. In life, we need hope and aspirations. So what are you looking forward to in the days ahead? When planning for the future, it is natural to start with our immediate needs. For example, how to improve your health, how to boost your bank account, etc. But as Christians, we know that besides this physical world, there is another realm which is often overlooked and deserves our attention. Instead of focusing on our temporal needs, perhaps we ought to shift our attention towards pursuits that are of eternal value and experience God's abundant provision as He has promised. And hence, our church has decided on the theme and focus, which I believe all of you are familiar with, the theme, spiritual succession, with the key verse in Psalm 145, which says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." Our attention is to focus on ushering God's kingdom by passing on our faith across generations. So it's not just something that's temporal, it's eternal. It's not just this generation, but across generations that's coming. With the Great Commission as our emphasis and the cross-generational succession as our theme, we seek to expand God's kingdom as our preparation for Christ's return. So often we talked about Christ is returning, but are we ready? Are we prepared? And we hope that we can be ready when Christ returns to rule His kingdom. 2,000 years ago, the Word of God became flesh for the salvation of sinful men, to establish God's kingdom, which is why from the start of His public ministry, Jesus was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Hence, Jesus is urging us not to pursue temporal personal gain, but to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we need, will be provided as well. He knew we would strive for our daily needs to the extent that we neglect what God is most concerned about. Very often we think that God is very concerned about our salvation, which is true. But ultimately, God is concerned about His kingdom, which we are part of. And which is what Jesus was teaching about using parables. So much so that His disciples were asking Him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And He answered, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." There are two seemingly contradicting reasons why Jesus used parables to teach. On one hand, to reveal, and on the other hand, to conceal the secrets of God's kingdom. You may be thinking, why so complicated, right? If the intention is to communicate, why not just speak plainly? And I hope today's message will be able to answer that question. Actually, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, just in chapter 13 alone, there are seven parables. And all the seven parables revolve around one theme, and that is God's kingdom. And the use of parable itself, as the disciples was asking Jesus, the use of parables, why Jesus chose to use parable, actually reflects the nature of God's kingdom. And hence, in order to understand God's kingdom, we must also understand His parables. And our parable today is also known as the mother of all parables. In other words, it helps us to understand the rest of Jesus' parables, as well as the secrets of the kingdom, namely its nature, why not everybody accepts the message of God's kingdom, and how to discern God's purpose so that we may live lives that are abundantly fruitful. But before that, let us go to some background to help us understand the passage today. Since the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he has been proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. But his message was not always well received. There were people who objected and even opposed him. According to Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, on this same parable, there was increasing hostility towards Jesus and his ministry. The Pharisees criticized and accused him of not observing the Sabbath by performing miracles, by healing people, and plotted to harm him. And some scribes contended that Jesus derived his power from demonic sources. Even his neighbors, those who knew him, were commenting that Jesus was merely a carpenter's son and doubted him. And all this happened because of three misconceptions regarding the kingdom of God. Firstly, the nature of God's kingdom. Secondly, the people of God's kingdom. And thirdly, the Messiah of God's kingdom. And Jesus was trying to correct their misunderstanding through his parables. The parable of the sower illustrates how different types of people receive the word of the kingdom, which is represented by the seed. It shows that acceptance and the growth of the gospel depends on the soil or the heart of the person. In other words, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. So now let's proceed to look at the main points of this parable. The parable is about a farmer sowing seeds that fell on four types of soil. According to Jesus, the four types of soil represent the hearts of those who hear God's word. And firstly, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. The birds represent Satan. Such people were unresponsive. They were unresponsive because their hearts were hardened. They have a hardened heart. And the message just hits them and bounces off. I'm sure you have encountered such people before when you share the gospel. People who just wouldn't understand or wouldn't accept. And sometimes we think whether we should change the message. But the message is not the problem. The heart is the problem. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. Jesus is warning the disciples, don't expect everyone to embrace the kingdom. We say that the gospel is good news, but yet not everybody would embrace it. Like, for example, the Pharisees in those days, they heard the same messages that Jesus was preaching to the crowd. Everybody hear the same thing, right? And they saw the same miracles that Jesus performed. But yet, somehow, the Pharisees were indifferent. They were not responsive. And Satan, represented by the birds, came and snatched the seed from them. So it did not leave any trace in their heart at all. As a kid, I used to live with my aunt in a pre-war house. Nowadays, most of us are living in HDB flats. But in those days, we were living near SGH. If you're familiar with SGH, Spottiswood Park area, there were lots of pre-war houses. And we were living there. And as you enter the house, in the living room, you will see a big otter. The otter was as big as this pulpit, right facing the doorway. My aunt was a staunch believer of the common folk religion of those days. And she was not open to the gospel. And at the altar, there were oil lamps that would be burning 24 hours a day. That means it never stops burning. Throughout the year, it's always burning. When we were kids, we were very playful. And we used to play badminton in the hall. So can you imagine how big the hall is? Not as big as a badminton hall, but it's big enough for you to play badminton in the hall. And there was once, while playing badminton, I accidentally hit one of the oil lamps, and it toppled. So my aunt was very furious. Very, very furious. She was a person with a hardened heart. But years later, amazingly, my aunt was converted. She was baptized, and a few years ago, gone home to be with the Lord. Perhaps before becoming a Christian, as we look back in our lives, some of us might have also been unresponsive or even opposing the gospel. I remember when I was a non-Christian, I would argue with Christians. But thank God, a hardened heart can be softened. However, the reverse is also true. A tender heart can be hardened. Because if we merely hear God's word but do not translate that into action, it will not bear fruit. There will not be any fruit. And just as the Lord Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. As we consider this parable, we tend to think that we are not like those with a hardened heart. We'll choose to think that we are not. Perhaps when you know that we are looking at the parable of the sower today, some of you may be thinking, you already knew this parable, and there's no need to refer to the Bible. You already know what the Bible is talking about in this parable. After becoming Christians for a long time, maybe decades, we start to think that we have heard it all. Can you imagine how many sermons you have heard? And over time, we become too comfortable, even complacent. The question is, do we put our Bible knowledge into action? We say we know, but do we act upon it? We claim that God's word is important and our relationship with Christ is precious, but we don't read the Bible nor have daily devotion. We say that we should be united as body of Christ and build each other up, and yet we don't attend cell group, nor fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we shine away from combined church activities. We stress that salvation is crucial, but do we support mission work? Are we sharing the goodness of Christ with non-believers? We know, but we don't do. Obedience softens the heart, whereas disobedience hardens it. And when that happens, the evil one will snatch the word of God from your heart, and it will not bear any fruit. All because you refuse to be led by God's word. The second type of soil in the parable, we hear that some seed fell on rocky places where the roots were shallow and withered under the heat of the sun. It refers to people who accept joyfully after hearing the word, but when faced with trials and difficulties, they give up. We describe these people as one with an impulsive heart. These people would eagerly raise their hands at evangelistic rallies. They will respond joyfully when they hear the gospel without much thinking. Sometimes they think, too good to be true, somebody who is so eager to accept. It's just a quick emotional response that doesn't count the cost of following Christ. They may seem very positive, but they could not stand the test of time. But sometimes the fault is not them. The fault lies on us as well because of inadequate evangelism. We only say the good things about conversion. And we simply tell them that everything would be wonderful and joyful if they would just accept Jesus Christ, but without emphasizing the need for repentance nor the cost of discipleship. Yes, salvation is free, but discipleship is costly, right? But we only talk about salvation is free. We don't talk about discipleship. The religious structure is there, but it's only superficial joy that is holding it up. Superficial, because the joy is affected by situation. It's not deep-seated joy. And when faced with difficulties and challenges, they fall. Because the roots were too shallow, there was no root. The faith, the so-called faith, is circumstantial. It depends. If everything is smooth going, they would believe that Jesus is Christ. But when times are tough, they change their minds. Just like Peter, who claimed that he would never desert Jesus, even others would. But when faced with pressure, he denied Jesus 3 times. Serving NS can be very stressful. And during NS, the guys would probably tell you that they would get to meet people from all walks of life. People who swear in every sentence. There are those who smoke. And many who tell lies. You can't tell whether what he says is true. We see the darker side of humanity. And during my army days, I got to know a guy in my camp. And we were together for 1.5 years. Because during my time, we served National Service for 2.5 years. And you can imagine how shocked I was. After 1.5 years, I discovered that he was a Christian. In other words, all this while, because of the pressure, because of the fear of being ridiculed or bullied, he concealed his identity as a Christian. His behavior was no different from any unbeliever in the camp. Right? He would not admit that he was a follower of Christ, as he was unwilling to pay the price. Although he did not verbally deny Christ, but his action betrayed him. Is our faith able to withstand trials and tests? Think of your present situation in the workplace, in the neighborhood, at home. Do you keep to biblical principles to love God wholeheartedly and love others as ourselves? Or would you waver under pressure and conform to the pattern of the world? For example, cutting corners, reporting late to work, leaving the office early, behaving like a chameleon, switching camps, depending on who is winning, so to speak. Jesus said, there will be trials and persecution in the last days. And it's going to be tough. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Trouble and persecution are very important to the kingdom of God for two reasons. First, trouble and persecution will make false believers fall away from the church. Those who profess to be Christians, but they are not. And secondly, trouble and persecution will strengthen true believers. So when faced with difficulties, think about it, right? How would you respond? Do we accept Christ because of the benefits that we could gain? God's protection, God's provision, God's blessings. Of course, all these are true, right? But we are unwilling to pay the cost of following Christ. I pray that our faith is not due to an impulsive heart, but an intimate relationship with Christ. Even when facing pressure and persecution, may we be willing to carry the cross and persevere to the end. We now come to the third type of soil. We are told some seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. It refers to people who are anxious about life, going after material wealth and physical comfort. They are people with a worldly heart, a heart that is preoccupied. This person hears the message of the kingdom, but there are other desires as well, and such desires choked off his faith. While he responded to the gospel, other concerns in his heart eventually squeezed out the desire for God's kingdom. He's preoccupied with his life such that he cannot focus on what is the most important, which is God and his kingdom. And sometimes we think, are you sure the most important in life is God and his kingdom? Or maybe verbally we may say that, but do we really reflect that in our lives? And because of such worldly preoccupations, his faith dies out. It is a professed faith. It's not real faith. We can be too caught up with daily lives, our career, our family, our retirement, that we leave no room for God's word. Initially, the seed may take root, but it had to compete with the thorns, the worldly concerns. So much is occupying our minds, demanding our attention. And because of that competition for the nutrients in the soil, eventually the plant got choked and does not produce any fruit. What are you preoccupied with? To answer that question, maybe we can think, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you wake up in the morning? I hope it's not the toilet, but what is it that you're most concerned about when you wake up in the morning? Or what concerns keep you awake at night and prevent you from sleeping? Is it your career? Is it your retirement plan? Do you have enough for retirement? Or is it a family member. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should excel in your profession. I'm not saying that you should not provide for your family, right? But be careful, because such preoccupation may become an idol that replaces God's position in your heart. The Apostle Peter says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Surely there will be concerns, but how do we respond to them? God says He cares for us. Let us cast our cares upon Him and just focus on what is of eternal value. All these temporal things, God says He will provide. God Himself said that. And finally, we have seed sown on good soil. These are people who are responsive to the word in their hearts, and they persevere until it bears fruit. They are those who put God's word into action. They are people with a submissive heart. Not only do they hear, but they would obey and live according to the word and bless others with the kingdom message, and eventually bearing fruit. I suppose all of us wish that we are good soil. We wish our lives to be fruitful. In this parable, four types of soil were mentioned, but in reality, there are only two types of soil, the good and the bad. And one thing distinguishes the good soil: fruitfulness. Those who don't bear fruit are bad soil. Good soil is where the seed bursts into life and bring forth a tremendous harvest. Sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 30-fold. Note that God desires for us to bear much fruit. God wants us to live an abundant life. That is His desire for us. In other words, we ought to be fruitful. But we are not called to keep up with somebody else who is bearing fruit. We are not called to compare or compete. We are just called to bear fruit. Just bear fruit. Don't compare. Right? We just need to have our desires in the right place. And God, by His grace, He'll help us bear the fruit. However, please note that the condition of your heart will not automatically remain the same over time. Right? It will not automatically remain good soil all the time. If you think that your heart is fertile soil, don't be complacent. The moment we become proud, our heart begins to harden. And therefore, the book of Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. As we listen to the parable today, ask ourselves, what is the condition of my heart today? Let's summarize the main idea of this parable. Mainly, to prepare our hearts like the good soil, accept, comprehend, and bear fruit as the Word of God impacts and transforms your life. I suppose if you have been following this parable, a very natural question to ask is, what does fruit refers to? It is the evidence of life. It is evidence of divine life in us. Let us now consider different aspects of fruitfulness. Fruit is God producing spiritual reality in a person's life. The spiritual transformation that is manifest in the attitudes and actions of a person. It symbolizes the positive outcomes of hearing and understanding God's word. And it is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. I think we are all familiar with the 9 different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. It is also reflected in acts of love, such as good works, and upholding justice, caring for others, etc. And its power shines through our life testimony as we bear witness to the gospel. And ultimately, it signifies the growth of God's kingdom. All right? As our lives draws people into the kingdom of God. Fruitfulness is an indication of the wonderful effect of God's word in a person. So may our lives reflect all these different aspects of fruitfulness. Now, in the parable today, there's one particular character that Jesus did not elaborate, and that is the sower or the farmer. The sower in the parable is Jesus. He's the original sower who puts the seed in the soil. He gave himself to the ministry of the gospel, setting an example for us. His focus reflects his desires and the priority of God's kingdom in his life. And today, seed sowing is not confined to just pastors or missionaries. As the Great Commission is entrusted to followers of Christ, everyone who truly believes in Christ must be a sower. Some of us may be hesitant, reluctant, thinking that we are not eloquent, we're not like so-and-so who can, you know, just talk very freely to strangers, and we are not theologically trained, so we hesitate. Now just imagine for a moment, suppose a five-year-old kid, he joins his father to the farm, to sow seeds. Being inexperienced, the five-year-old would simply throw the seeds around all over the place. But when the seed hits good soil, it does not matter who threw the seed. It's going to grow. Right? Even if he was a five-year-old kid. So don't be unduly burdened, thinking that you're not experienced, or thinking that your talent is going to determine whether the person become a Christian or not. It is the seed. It does not depend on us. Expect good soil. Persevere, and definitely there'll be some good soil somewhere. It will burst into life, not because of the one who sowed, but because of the power of the seed. That is the gospel. Don't be discouraged if you do not always see good results, because faith cannot be forced to follow some mathematical formula. Not that you follow all these steps and the person will definitely believe. No, it's not going to happen that way. All right? It is a miracle. It's a miracle of God as he uses his word through you as you share it with others. So keep sowing the seed of God's word and it will eventually land on good soil. All right? But first, you need to ask yourself, What is the condition of your heart? Are you good soil? Are you still hungry for the Word of God after all these years? Are you eagerly seeking to follow what the Bible is teaching? After understanding the gospel, this parable of the sower, we need to go back to think about the kingdom of God. Because this parable actually is to help us understand God's kingdom. Right? So let's look at some of the key aspects of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is also known as the kingdom of heaven. It is the core Christian concept. It's the very heart of the Christian concept, right? Representing the realm of God's sovereignty, God's rule. It is an eternal kingdom. It's not just transient or temporal, signifying God's sovereign power over all things, not just geographical dominance. It is present now in the hearts of believers through Christ's ministry, His Word, and is yet to come while we await its full physical establishment with Christ's return. Merely being Jewish does not qualify a person for God's kingdomship. Don't just say that because I'm a son of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. No. Only those redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus and fulfilling His will by bearing fruit will enter God's kingdom as God's people. Now, looking forward to the year ahead, I hope that all of us will be like good soil, persevering despite the trials in life, which will definitely happen, right? But persevering with the empowering of the Holy Spirit as we entrust our needs to God, putting God's word into action and bearing much fruit. So don't give up. Don't stop sowing the seed of God's kingdom, because in doing so, we are actually involved in the expansion of His kingdom. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that is eternal. Thank You for reminding us that what really matters is our heart, how we respond to Your word, whether we allow Your word to take root deep in our hearts and produce fruits that will bring glory to Your name. Help us to be like good soil. Help us not only bear much fruit, but also be willing to share the blessings that You have bestowed upon us, that others too may live an abundant life as we seek the expansion of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.